Welcome to Real Flicks Reviews. We're like a book club for people hate reading. This month we're doing sci-fi, so James picked the movie Earth Girls Are Easy. He brings you movie news. And this week we have John the Charney,
hello,
James Stevens, Ryan Preston, and
that old guy is still here.
So, who wants to go first? Because if nobody goes first, I will go first.
Go, John.
You're welcome.
This movie is video pollution. If it got any worse, it'd be declared a Superfund site.
Is that the best you could do?
This movie is god-awful. The only saving grace is the fact I'm a Jeff Goldblum and Gina Davis fan. The most redeeming people, actors, out of this whole movie.
You really expected acting out of this?
I did. And I, of course, was seriously disappointed.
You know, the worst thing about the whole thing, I've actually seen this before and forgot how bad it was. So apparently when I was a kid, I thought this was a decent movie. Oh, my God.
Okay. Yeah, I got one comment to all you haters. It's better than Cool World.
Not by much.
I mean, that's not saying
no,
much,
that's not saying nada.
But, John, allow me to co-sign something you said just a second ago for a minute. I saw this movie a long time ago also, and kind of looked forward to, like, oh, I remember this being a fun sort of movie. Look back on it kind of fondly, and then started watching it, and I got 10 minutes into it and wanted to kill the 11-year-old version of myself.
Right.
I'm with you, because I'm not sure I made 10 minutes.
All of a sudden, Ryan wanted to be the butterfly effect.
Oh, it was awful.
Now, I had forgotten about most of the... Because I was with Ryan on this, but I had watched... Last time I'd seen it was a long time ago.
Apparently long time enough.
And there were some things that I was like, oh, I remember that. And then it's like, you get there and it's like, wait a minute, what? Where was the fun? Like Ryan said, where was the fun?
Yeah.
So, you know, I forgot that there was that many song and dance scenes.
What's going on there?
See, I don't remember there being singing at all in this movie. I saw it, I'm like, oh my God, not only is it like the 80s threw up and made a videotape, there's singing involved.
And the one thing I do gotta say, I did remember the one where Gina Davis is going around bashing all his crap and destroying everything, and that was kind of still fun for me. Now, the fun part for me was looking at them in the cars and being like, I remember when seatbelt laws were like that.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, there was a few things that was like, oh yeah, that's why we try to forget that decade.
Yeah,
a few.
Chief among them, I blocked out a lot more than I thought I did.
Man, same here.
Watching that movie brought back some. Apparently, I was in a fugue state for many of the years of my life. But the thing that struck me the most, and I even brought this up to my girlfriend. She walked in on me an hour into watching it.
Poor thing.
And I was just like, you have to sit down and watch try to watch the rest of this movie with me. And I didn't make it, for the record. But I'm like, and just pay attention on how they treat women in this movie. The most terrible thing I've ever seen on how women are not only treated, but just simply portrayed in this movie.
Right?
It's insane.
Exactly.
I actually think watching this movie makes us victim of Munchausen by proxy syndrome. Because this damn movie is horrible.
I was actually surprised to be able to find a link to this movie. You know, obviously none of the biggies had it. And it was like...
It took me quite a while.
It took me a bit to find it. And I found it. And then I went, why did I spend all my time finding it?
I do not have the same reaction. Not worth the effort I put in.
I took 2 days to watch this because I was watching this with my fiance. Wow. And halfway through it, I'm like, I can't watch this anymore. I mean, I'm being positive here because the most redeeming, and I don't believe I'm saying it about this fucking movie, the most redeeming part is I love watching the 80s stuff, like the styling salon, the 80s styling cues. To me, it's like, oh, I totally remember places looking like that. Thank God they don't look like that anymore.
I had the fun in watching the little things that aren't around anymore, like the lax seatbelt laws.
Yeah,
that was fun
totally.
To me. And then the other thing was when the kid comes up with the gun, there was no orange marking on that at all.
Yeah.
That kid would be in jail with a felony. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200.
Pointed a gun at him.
Yeah. Done. And then, finished. Yeah, there was just some fun things like that for me. And then, now, the thing that I had didn't realize at first was this was before In Living Color.
Yes.
So yeah. Jim Carrey and Damon Wayans actually got a career after this. I thought the, you know, yeah, I thought it was the other way around.
You think it'd be all over with after this. Yeah.
James, if there's one thing you can tell from those two characters particularly is commitment.
True.
I mean, Jeff Goldblum is just being Jeff Goldblum. He's yep. being cool and saying weird turns of phrases. Right. You know.
No, it's just there are lines backwards.
The strangest thing is this isn't his Jim Carrey's first movie or even acting role, which I actually thought it was.
It was.
I looked, no, because before there it was the Deadpool.
Okay.
Peggy Sue Got Married, Once Bitten, right. The Duck Factory was a TV series, Finders Keeper, Buffalo Bill the TV series.
He actually did quite a bit.
So he did a number of one.
Okay.
This did kill his career.
But Ryan, what were you saying about
But isn't Deadpool a
never mind.
That's what I thought. It's a Dirty Harry movie.
You were talking about that commitment, Jeff Goldblum being Jeff Goldblum.
Jeff Goldblum was just Jeff Goldblum. He wasn't making any kind of a stretch. He didn't have to put himself out there doing some kind of weird character. He just had to dress up in a furry outfit.
Well doesn't Jeff Goldblum's normally Jeff Goldblum playing a character who happens to be playing Jeff Goldblum being Jeff Goldblum?
Pretty much. Except Jeff Goldblum himself is incredibly charming, so you let him get away with
it. Yeah.
Yeah, true.
With Damon Wayans and Jim Carrey, it's just ridiculous shenanigans, and they were the only, I can't say comic relief, but I'll say effort towards comic relief.
You know, I will give you that.
Yeah.
Yes.
I definitely got to give you that, because they were just, you could see things that they did in Living Color with each other.
Yeah.
They're just kind of like playing off each other a little bit here and there.
Right.
But it was like they got reined in.
But I felt embarrassed for Damon Wayans watching that dance. I'm sure if somebody were to just like hold a phone up in front of him doing that, he'd be like, please get that away from me.
Yeah.
But don't you want to be with a zero?
It's like Leah Thompson and
she
Howard
was
the
actually
Duck.
Originally cast for Gina Davis's role.
Right.
Thank God. So she just got stuck with Howard the Duck.
Yeah.
By the way, Howard the Duck is better than this movie. Not by much, but it is better.
But
it's a little more subversive, and that buys you some kind of credit.
But, you know, I gotta stand up and just kind of go with Ryan on this one. You know, seriously, this one was a childhood memory that I shouldn't have done. This is kind of on par with, you know, Attack of the Killer Tomatoes for me.
But I'm glad you could admit it.
Oh, yeah, I'll totally admit it.
I think Attack of the Killer Tomatoes is better.
It's a little nip in here.
By the way, the old guy actually think you did it on purpose. He's like, there's no way somebody purposely picked a movie this bad.
Yeah. No, I
couldn't believe it.
I did. I knew you guys wouldn't like it.
Yeah.
But I thought I was going to like it better.
Here's the million-dollar question. Did your wife watch it with you?
No, she just didn't work out to where we could watch it together. I was planning on having to watch it with her, and fortunately for her, she didn't do it.
Yeah, she
I'd pay $5 just to hear her reaction to watching that.
I made her watch Attack of the Guild Tomatoes. You were there.
True. She wanted to throw something at you.
I was gonna say, man, I think I'd pay $5 to watch her chase James with a wooden spoon or something.
Wouldn't get far. Okay, here's the million-dollar question.
You just did that.
This is the
second million-dollar question.
$2 million.
Is this better than Troma?
No.
Depends on what Troma.
Redneck Zombies.
No.
Didn't see it.
You're not missing much.
Okay, so
no, this is. I don't know.
So was there any redeeming thing to anybody else? Because I know James and I kind of gave what we thought was the redeeming value, because I really loved the styling cues. James really loved the laws.
I think it was abysmal at the time.
There's something you liked?
I wouldn't go with loved, but...
I'm being very generous.
Yeah,
maybe
very.
The pastel
I'm
not
a giving
colors.
Mood.
I don't think I used the word love.
Hey,
I enjoyed
blue.
Seeing that.
Yeah. Pastel blue is the best.
Slightly amused.
Whelmed.
Got a raised eyebrow.
So I was whelmed. Ryan?
The only way I could enjoy this movie is if I was having some kind of sociology study where I was observing the group observing the movie.
You know what?
I really stoned.
There are some parts of this movie, like her little dream sequence, that I was like, man, that would really screw you up if you were on acid.
By the way, that dream sequence was actually the best acted scene of the entire movie.
Are you talking about the Total Recall girl?
No, the Gina Davis, when she was after she did the dirty deed with Jeff Goldblum, the whole aliens are coming to attack the globe. I thought that was the best acted scene in the entire thing.
By the way, you know what was interesting about Gina Davis is that having watched a little bit of this, and she's been on Grey's Anatomy, which we've been watching. She's like 5 seasons. She's going to die in it anyway. Okay. But my train of thought was
spoiler.
Well, everybody knows her. She's got this big tumor. Oh, okay. Anyway, how well she's actually held up. I mean, she's still a very good actress.
Yeah, I was looking at the picture.
And I was quite impressed.
She's done a lot of amazing movies, actually, because one of the ones is Beetlejuice, Thelma and Louise. She's
anorexic in this film, though.
Well, this was very young for her, and she may have been that way. I think she's thin naturally.
But she's done a ton of amazing movies. I mean, right off the top, you got Beetlejuice, Thelma and Louise, The Fly, A League of Their Own, Cutthroat Island. I wonder if
she's
going to
make a newer appearance in Beetlejuice.
She has to.
Yeah, she should. Anyways.
Yeah, she should.
I mean, that was the one thing that surprised me, because I don't remember being in here. She's, The Long Kiss Goodnight. She's done an amazing amount of movies.
Stuff. I really like her.
So she went on.
She's been around.
Mm-hmm.
And this didn't kill her career. Amazing.
Believe it or not, it didn't kill, didn't kill Jim Carrey either, obviously.
Unfortunately. No,
everybody in this movie went on to do other things. I think it was something that somehow people were able to quickly forget about.
Overlooked. That didn't really happen.
The only thing is, I don't think Jim Carrey was able to get away from this style of comedy for a while, because there was Ace Ventura. He's always known for that kind of
goofy
comedy.
Well, he
kind of
got stuck in there from the goofy roles that he had on in Living Color. He had the extremely goofy
Fireman Bill
out there ones that, you know, Damon Wayans didn't quite get to. He was mostly known for Homie the Clown out of that. So, you know, it was more of a harder, you could change up with that. Jim Carrey was known for being goofy and eccentric.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he just played into that for many, many years. And
I don't think it's up until after The Truman Show and was it Majestic Theater and some of the other movies that he was able to get away from that. So I do think this kind of stuck him in that role of goofy comedy.
I don't think it wasn't this movie's fault.
No, you're right.
And that he was trying to push for a long
time. We're going
to
blame one show and one show.
Yeah.
And this was it.
Yeah, hey, he was a stand-up comic from
Oh,
Canada.
Yes.
True. I'm a victim because I watched this movie.
But, you know, the thing is, Jim Carrey got into that and got a lot of money was highly successful for that.
Yeah.
I mean, even his buddy from Dumb and Dumber mm-hmm. is in this film, the surfer guy.
Yeah.
Okay, the most amazing thing that I forgot who was in here was Larry Linville.
Yeah, caught that.
He's mainly known for MASH, the TV series, and he was actually an amazing character actor, an actor in general, to play somebody
this
like
this killed his career.
Well, he died not that much longer after.
See?
Almost killed him. Well, Street Fighter killed Ra Julia, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Because he literally died.
Yeah.
Yeah. He saw the movie.
God rest in peace.
You know, it is too bad. I kind of miss him. He was very unusual.
Yes, he really was.
You know, and he could really do some interesting characters. Just think if he was still around, some of the stuff he could do.
Yeah, he was an amazing actor.
Yeah.
I just remember him as Gomez. That's one moment of him is like, oh, that was Gomez. He was, when I was like,
you know,
9 years old.
You know, amazing about that, and it may have been, you know, I kept thinking how much they did with the makeup, making him look, you know, withdrawn and, you know, and all of that. And he was undergoing chemo during the filming of The Addams Family.
So,
it may have been more natural than we thought.
I'm dying to know this, and I'm pretty sure we can guess, but this is going to get rated by everybody. But, Rob, you're up.
Me first.
Yep.
0.5.
0.5 out of 5. And
everybody.
First. I got a first.
Going in reversed order, Ryan.
Yeah, that kind of nails it, man.
James?
I'm going to be one of those sticklers and say one.
Wow. Considering it took me 2 days to watch this an hour and 40 minute show movie, 0.5.
Yeah.
They owe me time back.
Yes.
Yes.
It's time. The time that none of us will ever get back.
Yeah, my childhood memories are ruined.
But I got to apologize for my fiance because of this movie.
Yeah, see, no kidding.
Tromo movies.
Troma.
Tromo, I'm sorry.
Troma.
Whatever.
Doesn't matter, keep going.
It does too.
Who was founded by the beloved James Gunn, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
I'd just like to point out.
Yep, yep.
Those movies, from that production company, it at the very least are a wash at the end of it. You know what I mean? You sort of gain nothing, you lose nothing.
And they're very aware of it, though,
too. But you have that memory now, that's all. Of like, wow, I saw a guy try to make moonshine out of radioactive waste. Okay. Yeah.
The first time you see Class of Nukem High is usually the last time you watch Class of Nukem High.
Right, but you don't forget Class of Nukem High.
Oh, no, never.
And you don't consider it a time wasted. Not like this movie.
No, because everybody has great memories of talking about trauma movies. I don't know anybody who has great movies watching this one.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Remember when they did her hair?
That was awesomely epic.
Makeover. Oi, oi, oi. So we're going to switch to this week's TV show, which was another wash in my humble opinion. Well, not so humble opinion, depending on who you ask. So, Ryan, you're up.
Shoot. Okay. I like the cast of characters. It's, I don't know. These shows have almost become like the procedural shows, like Law and Order. And not to say it's not original, it is, but it's, I don't know. It's hard to explain. The premise is good. It's, you know, it's not too lofty. It's kind of high concept. But I don't know. It doesn't land too well. Maybe I've just been inundated with alternative comedy lately.
Well, it not being one of my shows that I normally would watch. Also, I was a bit confused by it to a certain degree. The acting was over the top, which it was supposed to be. I understand that. The premise, you know, that they're in this little town in Indiana, you know, and they decide that they're going to focus on the park and rec department, which had an amazing amount of people working in it, where even something like the city of Placerville has maybe one person. And yeah. That was the other issue, you know, they had a ton of people in this little city, and they just came up with absurd ideas, and said, okay, so we're going to come up with an absurd idea. Now, it's funny, make it funny. And
Fall funny.
Yeah, it just, to me, it was, at least the episode I watched was too forced. I didn't get the humor. I understood it. I didn't get it. There's a difference. But, you know, it's gone anyway, so...
It ended.
I could understand that it has its audience, and I'm sure the audience appreciated it for what it was, but I don't know,
Welcome to my life. I've actually sat through comedies, watched people laugh, and I'm sitting going, oh... I could see how that was funny.
You know what? I agree with Ryan. I can see where there are people. Well,
I cracked Ryan.
We have the best rating fucking movies on this show with us here. I feel human emotion.
You know,
warmth.
I gotta say, I like comedies.
Human.
I really do. I mean, I give most of these comedy shows a try.
Yeah,
and most of them fail. This one, I watched and. I didn't even snicker, chuckle, snort, anything. There was no amusement in this at all. At any point did I find this show amusing.
I found things funny, but when it comes down to like awkward type comedy and things like that, I was the guy that got uncomfortable watching the original Meet the Parents with Ben Stiller when he's just a bumbling friggin' moron. I just got uncomfortable. Like, I can't watch people be that weird.
This, you know? This movie reminded me of like watching the Oscar De La Hoya Pacquiao fight. It was like watching somebody get mugged and trying to laugh at it. This TV show was horrible. I'm sorry.
It's not funny. And here we are in my humble opinion. 2015. You're absolutely right. You know, it's 2015, and we're making fun of every ethnic group we can. And we're putting it on television. We're calling a stupid name Parks and Rec.
There was one funny part when they had the Indian guy and he said, "No, I'm from this town. I'm a redneck." That actually made me laugh.
But that's my point, though. I mean, that's an example of let's bash on, you know, everybody that we can, and it's funny. How is this funny? Man, my take on Parks and Rec.
So we're going to switch it up here, and it looks like we might have lost Ryan for a second.
Oh, Ryan.
We're going to switch it up, and we're going to switch to a different TV series. And, James, I'm going to hand that over to you.
I guess we're going to be going with House of Cards.
You know anything about it?
It is, we don't really know much about it except for that it's about...
And it's a Netflix original.
It's about politics. It is a Netflix original. It's been on something that they've been trying to get me to do for a long time, according to them. Here we go.
House of Cards.
And I'm willing to give it a try.
Yeah, I do too. So it's a congressman works with his equally conniving wife to extract revenge on the people who betray him.
And this is with Kevin Spacey. Kevin Spacey joint.
Kevin Spacey and Michael Giller and Robin Wright. Who actually, I like Robin Wright. Interesting. Not all the characters were in all the episodes. Looks like 39 episodes was the total amount. But a lot of these guys that we would recognize are only in so many episodes. That's interesting.
So definitely looks something to be interested in.
Well, it's something interesting. Since none of us have watched this, I haven't seen House of Cards. I'm not sure why. This is my kind of thing. I like this political drama type stuff. I mean, on television right now, we've got a couple of good ones going.
Welcome back, Ryan.
Madam Secretary and... State of Affairs. So I think I have a hard time believing I missed this one and didn't watch it. So
it is available. It's available, I think, right now, available only on Netflix. Maybe some other places, but I know Netflix is the original source. And we're at it. Going to remind you, we do have a Facebook page. Please let us know. Do you love us, hate us? Please pause for the cause and donate some money to
Give us lots TV and lots of money.
So we can continue to bring excellent in broadcasting.
Well, at least honesty.
We might even give you, like, you know, on-air props.
Maybe.
Possibly not, but, you know, you could try. Yeah, see how much it takes to do that.
To quote the Wing Commander Forum, there's a chance we're going to be a little snarky.
I'm walking dead.
So, but before we bring movie news, we lost an original member of the Star Trek TV series, Leonard Nimoy, and I was actually sad. I've always been a big fan of Spock, and Leonard Nimoy is as strange as some of the stuff he's done in the past. So, anybody?
You know what's interesting? I watched an interview with him, which there were many, shortly after his death. And one of the things that was, the Spock symbol.
Yeah.
Are you guys aware what this really is?
Yep. Yes, I do.
Yeah. It's a Jewish symbol.
And it's a Jewish blessing that the rabbi does.
And when Nimoy did it, it was with the producer. They were trying to come up with something, and it really basically is the live long and prosper. Is what it basically means in Hebrew as well. So if for all you Trekkies out there, you're passing down a Hebrew blessing. So thank you very much. I appreciate that.
So I guess
refraining from a lot of inappropriate comments that might be popping into my head.
Yay for James and self-control.
About a little snip for all you Trekkies.
Oh, jeez.
I'm still surprised I had no idea they were Jewish.
Yeah. No joke.
No kidding, huh? Answers a lot of questions. It was a Jewish crew.
So many jokes, so little time. So, James, you got to get up on movie news. You're up.
So, John's favorite little fanboy of Michael Bay is doing a new film called 13 Hours. Have you heard of this one yet?
Is it going to be like 127
hours? No, this is actually going to be a little kind of based on Benghazi.
Ah.
It's going to be the 13 hours of Benghazi that was going on, and they haven't released a lot. So far, the IMDb synopsis is, an American ambassador is killed during an attack at a U.S. compound in Libya as a security team struggles to make sense out of the chaos.
I really hope he
does it justice.
I hope so, too.
Here's my question.
Maybe they have Hillary tied up in a room somewhere, and they're still trying to get more information out of
him. Yeah. I do have a question. Michael Bay is known for doing spectacles. I mean, all the way from The Island and some of the other movies he did earlier.
Spectacles.
Do you think he's going to be able to not do what he does? What he's known famous for?
I have a prediction on this one.
Okay.
Somebody write this down. I guess not.
And he lose him failed. Again? Epic right on his. Fail. That's a really good one.
So James, what were you gonna say?
And really good.
What I was gonna say is I got really one suggestion for Michael Bay out there. Go look up and watch Argo, and what Ben Affleck did with that. He did a great job. I think he did a really, really tasteful thing on what information they had from the CIA.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that are like, oh, this is all lies. This is not how it really went. Blah, blah, blah. I don't really give a crap. Argo was a good film. Go watch it. I'm not a fan of Ben Affleck, and I still say it's something to watch.
Yeah, Argo, I oddly enough, I haven't had a chance to finish the whole movie. I was really impressed in how tasteful that movie was done.
Yeah,
It really was good.
Yeah. You know, there was another film that was released that was about another hostage taking at an embassy, and I can't find the freaking name of it right now. I've been trying to look it up for the past 10 minutes or so because it just popped back into my head, but there was another movie done in the early 90s where there was a hostage takeover, and I think it was in Africa. I think it was in South Africa. Anyways, don't quote me on that, but there is a film out there that was also done of a hostage takeover at embassy, and it was also well done.
That might have been it. You're not thinking of like Black Hawk Down?
Not Black Hawk Down, not any of the other ones that were done too. I wish I could find the name of it. But it was one of those rare ones that I've watched that, you know, they don't really give a bunch of information on.
Right.
Have you guys heard of Beast of No Nation?
Actually, who's it by? Because I've never.
This is a. Oh, I thought I just had that. No, I don't. I thought I had that right up. No, I don't have what it's up. But it's a Netflix film. And a bunch of, AMC, Regal, Cinemax, and Karmike told Variety, which is a newspaper that some of you guys maybe know about, that they do not plan to show the drama about child soldiers in Africa because they do not provide screens to films that do not honor what is typically a 90-day delay between theatrical debut and a home entertainment release.
What?
So they are not going to show Beast of No Nation because Netflix is releasing it the same time that theaters would be releasing it.
Interesting.
Well, it's got to be because theaters... Hitler's angry. Ding. So it's got to be because of the fact that the only way theaters really make money is by concessions.
It's the popcorn.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, this is a film, Kerry Fukunaga.
That's easy.
It's a drama that's who's putting it out. But, yeah, it's about child soldiers, and Netflix is putting it out the same time that theaters would be releasing, and they're boycotting it.
I have to admit, that sounds like an interesting movie. I'd love to know more about it.
How dumb do you have to be these theaters? I mean, you want to lose money? Fine.
Well, I think
people will still come to your theater and watch the damn movie.
The difference is, I actually don't think that's as much as true as it used to be. I think with televisions being as good as they are, and you got sound systems.
I don't
disagree
with that.
I think people enjoy sitting home. I enjoy the experience of the theater. I love going.
And
to the theater.
That was going to be my point.
People
still love going to the theater because it's something to do. It's socializing. It gets you out of the house.
And that's a Tarantino thing too, by the way.
Well,
he's really big on the experience of the theater.
It is,
which is why he doesn't like digital projection.
He'll change his mind.
No, he
will.
He's not known for changing his mind.
He will change his mind.
Well, I don't see Tarantino. He has a such an eclectic group of fans that
just watch.
They won't cry foul over it.
No.
Anyways, Ryan, I was interested about your prediction of Michael Bay. You cut out right at that part.
I was going to say the climate of recent sort of war movies and everybody's sort of opinion on war, the consensus being like, okay, we're over there for whatever reasons, whether we agree or disagree with it, but war sucks and we're going to sort of portray it as a little more grittier, taking it back to a little more, what do you call it, Saving Private Ryan kind of...
A little more realistic.
Sensibilities when it comes to war, a little less Rambo, a little more, you know...
Okay.
Saving Private Ryan, like I said. But Michael Bay, the one thing I think he's going to bring to it that's going to be good is scope. He's definitely has a big eye when it comes to these kinds
of
things.
Okay.
And it's a big story to tell.
Yeah.
But I think he's going to do it enough respect, you know, with the kind of shit that's come out with American Sniper. And then you got people like, what do you call it, the Lone Survivor movie, where the soldiers are backing all of these movies and they know that that's going to be a big audience for him.
Yeah.
So he's going to, you know, pay it probably the proper respect and tell the story, you know, with just an eye for the grandiose, but not the ridiculous, let's, you know, light everything on fire with gasoline.
I really agree with you, especially on the scope. He has a good idea for vision. I mean, I wasn't a big fan of the Transformers movies, but if you actually look at them, they're very well done that way.
No, he actually... Ryan's right about that. And if you look back at the Transformers films and you actually... look at what Ryan's saying, where he's got the big scope.
Yeah, he
you
really
see
does.
A lot of moving parts all at the same time on one screen.
I'd even go back.
So there's
to the movie
a lot that, of things to going on.
I would even go back but to the movie The Island.
He knows how to tell a big story, an epic story, but he just sometimes chooses, you know, Megan Fox and, you know, clunky robots.
Yeah.
He knew it was a guaranteed payday. I mean, come on, everybody needs some money.
Yeah, I want to get this bit of news in real quick. I find it interesting that Ryan brought up Saving Private Ryan. Now, I know pretty much all of us here really love what Tom Hanks has been doing with World War II films.
Oh, yeah.
And we also have a big fan base of what Spielberg has done with World War II films as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Steven Spielberg and Tom Hanks are stepping into the Cold War. And they're teaming up to do a film called The Bridge of Spies, which is a quote-unquote untitled Cold War thriller. Now, I'm a big fan of what those two have done and what they have done together.
Namely Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah. Namely Saving Private Ryan, Band of Brothers. You know,
I think this will be interesting.
Yeah.
So it's a movie, though.
Yes, but this is not what you would be expecting. This is more of a spy, cloak and dagger type of thing. And the way they tell stories. I'm down.
So this is just kind of a random off the wall question, because a lot of spy movies, you either got, you know, like the modern version of spy movies or the older movies that are a little bit more noir or have that kind of sensibility to it.
Yeah.
How do you think, I mean, this is a complete guess, how do you think it's going to be done? Is it being more modern, a little more
old
school?
This is what
I'm
going to read right out to you guys. This is the IMDb synopsis. An American lawyer is recruited by the CIA during the Cold War to help rescue a pilot detained in the Soviet Union.
So it's going to be kind of like a...
Well, I was thinking of...
Ben Affleck's one.
No.
Look, I know exactly how this is going to go down. Tom Hanks collects typewriters.
Yeah.
Okay, he collects old typewriters. Steven Spielberg doesn't do anything in his movies that doesn't serve the story. He doesn't film in a way that he doesn't have to. You know what I mean? With these kinds of movies, you don't need to have anything but good sound and good film and good actors.
Yes, and
you don't need special effects. You don't need, you know, visuals or CGI. He doesn't need any of it, so he's not going to use.
And what I would throw out is, if you guys have not seen Confessions of a Dangerous Mind, watch that film before you watch this one.
We got a cricket in here.
Because that will really show you where I think this film's going to go to. Do you agree, Ryan?
I would say something, but I think Rob thinks I'm boring.
But you've seen Confessions of a Dangerous Mind, right?
Yeah, George Clooney's
movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that one was one I thought was a really good one.
That's old school camera tricks, and it looked fancy without using any state of the art gear whatsoever.
Right. So I'm because of those I'm two, intrigued. I'm interested in it.
I'm really intrigued. Is what
yeah,
what
I'll
I was saying.
Watch anything those two do.
And last little bit of news: did you guys hear that Buffy the Vampire Slayer has jumped on board with Star Wars? No. Sarah Michelle Gellar. Yeah.
Who is she playing?
I didn't have that piece of information off what the article I saw.
I think they're still holding it close to the vest.
The hardest part with the new Star Wars, since they pretty much threw out most of the extended universe, it's really hard to guess, for me personally.
She'll be some kind of alien, probably. Stick some funny ears.
Maybe she'll be Luke Skywalker's daughter or wife.
Now, should I make John feel better because I'm really torturing him? I didn't finish what I was saying.
Okay.
Star Wars Rebels Season 2. John
still
didn't defend it.
She's
going to be a voice actor. Stop getting all your panties in a bunch. She's not in the new film.
Sarah Michelle Gellar has done some good things.
She has.
One or two. I would have been interested to see what she had done, but I actually like the Star Wars Rebels cartoons. Actually really well done.
Yeah, I enjoy that one. I like it better than Clone Wars, even though I've watched all Clone Wars, and I like it better than John likes Clone Wars.
I can't stand Clone Wars, personally. It's a fashion show.
Close enough.
It's a Star Wars fashion show.
He can't talk about... Jeff Goldblum, he got a little tongue twisted with that.
He's so dreamy.
He got choked.
Well, at least it wasn't as bad of a flop as Robocock. And Ryan went dead silent.
Because we're bashing on me for a good minute. So, Ryan, you there?
Yeah,
he's there.
So next week is Ryan's pick on the sci-fi. Before he loses connection again, Ryan, what's your pick?
Jesus. It's your guys' fault this time. I swear to God.
Right.
I'm sure everybody recently saw Gravity. The reason that I looked forward to it from the original trailer is because I recognized the name of the director, who I'm sure I'm going to butcher the pronunciation, but Alfonso Cuarón.
Whatever.
It's tomato, tomato.
Spanish name. Anyway. Right.
Well, then, what's your problem?
What are we picking?
2006 made one of the coolest sci-fi movies. It's a little fringe sci-fi, but Children of Men.
Oh! Nice.
Yeah, good choice. Pick. This is one I haven't been, this is on my list of stuff to watch personally.
He's just trying to redeem the show after, you know, we go through Earth Girls Are Easy.
Yeah, please.
You're welcome.
You. Yeah, thank you, because it's all
welcome,
really
people.
His fault for making
hey,
us watch this abortion
of a movie.
You gotta
know what crap is to know what good movies are, so shut it. You're welcome.
This movie's video pollution, folks. So.
And sorry, Paula, for the RoboCop thing. It's all John's fault.
Liar!
I seriously doubt she's watching.
So I gave Earth Girls Are Easy a 0.5 out of 5, because I can't technically give it a 0.
Right.
James gave it a 1 out of 5, which means he loves this movie compared to the rest of us. Okay. Ryan gave it a 0.5. Rob gave it a 0.5.
Very first 0.5 ever.
Yeah, old guy did it.
We need, like, trumpet sounds or something. Next week is going to be Children of Men. And as always.
Oh, and House of Cards, it's Chapter 1 is what they call it.
What he said. Charge. And as always, we'll see you next week.
Goodbye.